Welcome to the Weekly Fix, Asia Society's podcast featuring the latest headlines out of Asia with expert commentary you'll only get here. Today we'll discuss the latest effects of the world financial crisis on Asia and next steps for the Dalai Lama. Plus, we'll bring you excerpts from a discussion on Iranian film, Love and Heroin. Finally, we'll tell you about what's coming up at Asia Society around the world this week. I'm Deanna Lee. Thanks for joining us. It's November 18th. Concern over the global economy continues as Japan and Hong Kong have now officially slipped into recession. Today, China's stocks plunged over 7% on concerns about the effects of a possible global recession on China's growth. And it's the big topic at the annual Global China Business Meeting taking place in Barcelona right now. In New York, we're here with John Delurie, Associate Director of the Center on U.S.-China Relations and Director of the China Boom Project at Asia Society. John, how deep are the worries among business people and leaders in China at this point?
It's tough to analyze because there's a lot of mix of pessimism, but still some deeper underlying optimism. We've been doing these interviews with business people, entrepreneurs, CEOs in China for the last 6 or 9 months. And one of the most striking things was to hear how deep the optimism was about the financial future for China. Now, at that point, of course, it was after subprime had hit, but it was before this fall and the unraveling of the financial system. But there were already a lot of huge economic challenges in China. I mean, at that point, the problem was inflation. Was the big thing that people worried about. But some of these structural problems, for example, the deeper transformation of the economy that Chinese leadership is trying to navigate here, which is to shift away from an export and investment heavy model toward a more domestic consumption model, that challenge was already very clear, before the real crisis broke recently. So, of course, this makes it all a lot harder. I think in general, there's still a lot of confidence in China, certainly compared with probably the U.S., Japan, and Europe. They're very realistic about how huge this challenge is going to be.
Mm-hmm. In Barcelona, some of the largest Chinese companies and their heads are talking about what they could do to help stave off some sort of crisis.
The general message that the Chinese talking point so far through the crisis has been the most important thing we can do to help the world through this crisis is to keep our own ship in order or ship afloat, to see the metaphor through. I mean, if China can figure out a way to keep its growth going, that's going to be a beacon amidst unremittingly negative economic news. So if you can get squeeze any positive numbers out of China's economy, that will be something that, especially when you talk about the problem of fear, the crisis of confidence, the psychological aspects of what we're going through, if there's some positive narrative coming out of China that does contribute to stabilizing the world system. So if Chinese companies can remain dynamic and aggressive, not get sort of go down the narrow path here, can keep trying to find ways to grow, can exploit the opening in the domestic market, can take advantage of the new fiscal stimulus, package, the $586 billion over the next 2 years. If Chinese companies can find ways to really sell more products, then that can have a ripple effect and at minimum a psychological effect that would be positive.
Let's switch over to the topic of the Dalai Lama and other exiled Tibetan leaders who find themselves in sort of a strange situation after the latest talks with Beijing have ended without progress. Now they're gathering to decide next steps, right?
Yeah, it's very interesting to watch. We haven't seen something like this for over a decade. It's a real sort of special assembly that the Dalai Lama has called. He's been very pessimistic, and he's been saying a couple things over and over. He's been saying these talks aren't getting anywhere. We'll keep doing them, but there's got to be some concrete results, and there's been nothing. And he's also saying, I am losing legitimacy. I'm losing the sort of democratic consensus. He has made real efforts to make the Tibetan exile community more democratic. And it's a very strange thing to watch because as leader, he has, if he wants it, almost authoritarian control. And now is a really interesting moment where following through on that commitment to a more democratic way of governing their community in exile means possibly jettisoning his so-called middle way approach. And I think one big question is the Dalai Lama here trying to bring the younger generation, who do tend to be more radical, who are much less hopeful that purely peaceful negotiations are going to go anywhere? Is he trying to bring them into the leadership? So is this week somehow about transitioning power over the Tibetan community, but also to bring this younger generation into leadership positions? Hopefully they'll go beyond violence. But maybe change the approach, which, you know, the Dalai Lama's right. It hasn't worked in 20 years.
The celebrated Iranian filmmaker Dariush Mehrjoui premiered his latest film, Centauri, here at Asia Society last week. A story about two musicians whose deep love for each other is no match for a devastating addiction to heroin. The film was banned in Iran after initial government-sponsored acclaim. Jamshid Akrami interviewed the filmmaker.
The addiction is really a big problem nowadays in Iran, or maybe in Middle East, everywhere. I was somehow drawn to really depict this problem, hoping that maybe by showing it, showing how tragic and disastrous it is, maybe it would help the cause. And it really did, you know, the people who are... Of course, they didn't have a chance of seeing the film in cinemas, but, you know, just 3 or 4 months after it was banned, DVD was smuggled out and it just spread out everywhere. I would receive, you know, a lot of letters from people who would say that we were deeply drugged, but by seeing this film, we just dropped everything, even cigarette. That does not mean I'm fascinated with drugs, you know. I hate it.
This movie did something for the first time in Iran. You sued a government agency, the Ministry of Guidance, Islamic Guidance, for banning the film. Would you like to comment on that and what happened with that suit?
Because it was, they wouldn't, you know, answer or give any legal reason why they had banned this film. So we just followed the issue through an institute which is called the Dadgah Edalat Edari.
A court that deals with the government agencies. If
yes.
You sue a government agency, if they do something wrong, you have to go to the administrative.
And for the first time in the history of fine arts and cinema especially, we won the case. And so they have accepted to pay the damages. Of course, it's undergoing a long process and nothing has appeared yet.
It's that time when we tell you about what's coming up at Asia Society around the world. Ashley Eiler is here to talk first about a program in Mumbai.
Well, on Thursday, November 20th, there's a discussion, Flood-Tolerant Rice, a Solution for India? Rice is obviously an essential crop around the world, but particularly in India, not only domestically, but for export. Many farmers are stuck in these situations where they're farming in very flood-prone areas, and clearly that causes a lot of financial trauma for farmers. So there have been stress-tolerant rice varieties that are being developed, and these are created to boost yields and increase incomes for farmers, that kind of thing. These are being distributed to farmers in eastern India, Bangladesh, and other countries. So this program just talks about these particular rice varieties and how they might help farmers around the region. Then on Sunday, November 23rd, through our Northern California office, there is a discussion, Inside, Outside, the Great Wall of China. And this is taking place at the Berkeley Art Museum Theater. It's, you know, synonymous with China almost. But yet there's not a lot known, I would say, widely by the public. So this could be a really interesting discussion for you. You know, there's just a fascinating history, you know, culturally, politically, militarily. So this program debunks a variety of myths related to the Great Wall and talks about, you know, origins of the Great Wall, as well as current research that's actually being done about this, you know, one of the seven wonders of the world.
Thank you so much, Ashley. That's it for the Weekly Fix. For more events, resources, and news, you can go to www.asiasociety.org. And don't forget to join us again next week for a new edition of the Weekly Fix, starting on Tuesday.